So while I was chaplaining this past week, I walked into a room and I met a lovely woman. And the first thing she said to me is, I'm not worthy of God. God can't possibly love me, not in this body. I heard these words from this amazing woman in her early 60s, suffering from a chronic illness, an illness that she blames herself for. If I wasn't overweight, I wouldn't be sick, she told me. Which wasn't true, and even I knew that. But I wanted to hear more about the feeling under her statement, why she believed this to be true. So I asked her, in the language that I thought her might resonate with her Catholic tradition, if God had made a mistake in creating her. You're in God's image, right? I asked. She affirmed, tearfully but vigorously. Do you think God loves you less or judges you because you don't have the body that you think you should have? She began to smile through her tears. No, she agreed. God loves me entirely as I am. And as she sat there drying her tears, I asked, so why would you love yourself any less than God loves you? And that's where the conversation began, about how she learned to be a caretaker at a young age, to pull love into herself by doing for others. We spoke of how she puts herself last, not thinking herself worthy, and how to begin maybe to shift that. And if I'm honest, and I have to be honest here, I related to this woman. I've been called fat, Rubenesque, chubby, stocky, and lots of other euphemisms, all of which are meant to tell me somehow that I should be other than I am. And for a long time, I believed that. In my more vulnerable moments, I still do. But mostly in my Unitarian Universalist way, I know that I am lovable and loved exactly as I am, because that's our first principle, the inherent worth and dignity of every being. Not every perfect being, not every finished being, not every easy to be around being. We value every single being, or at least we aspire to. The reasons not to love ourselves, to find ourselves wanting, are endless. Maybe we believe ourselves unattractive or undesirable, or we think we go too easily to anger or criticism or tears. Maybe we think we open our mouth too quickly or are too damaged by our past to even feel entirely whole. Maybe we think we're defined by our grief and loss. Perhaps we think we aren't smart enough or we don't have enough money to merit being loved as our full and whole selves. Maybe our gender or sexuality sets us apart, or we've been imperfect parents. On and on and on, the reasons not to love ourselves pile up until the evidence of our unworthiness clearly outweighs evidence to the contrary. Or so we think. In seminary, my favorite professor, Frank Rogers, once asked the entirety of the class, would you ever speak to anyone else the way you speak to yourself? And we all answered the way you just did, of course not. And he was asking, would you be that so unkind, so harsh, so unforgiving? You idiot, we say to ourselves. Or whatever words you use for self-chastisement, when we miss the mark, when our hopes and expectations of ourselves prove different from lived reality. You know, this is the self-feedback that most of us give ourselves. And if you're more evolved than that, great, and start teaching the rest of us, please. But for most of us humans, a little more self-compassion, wouldn't it be a bad thing? And more to the point, on a Sunday morning, it's not what this faith wants for us. Some of you have heard me say that I'm more universalist than Unitarian. What I'm saying there is that what most influenced my theology is the fidelity of the early Universalist ministers and their belief, their unwavering belief, against all the doctrine of their time, that the human heart is good. And more to the point, that when given the opportunity to recognize that, a sort of human-made mercy is achieved, of which there is literally no comparison. In that effort, and I know where you use, but run with me here, we can make our own version of heaven here on earth. One of the most notable of the earliest Universalist ministers was Hosea Ballou. Ballou was a New Englander. He served in the Northeast in Vermont and Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and ultimately landed in Boston. And he was a radical for his time. He rejected entirely, and this did not make him a popular man, the prevailing Calvinistic notion of humankind needing to prove their worth in order to access grace and love. Universalism came into being because it looked at the prevailing Christian faith, which subjugated people, made them less than. And this is not anti-Christianity. This is telling you how universalism came into being and why it matters. Hosea Ballou preached this inclusive love. This was his core message. And I want to read one of my favorite passages of his to you. It is well known and will be acknowledged by every candid person that the human heart is capable of becoming soft or hard, kind or unkind, merciful or unmerciful, by education and habit. On this principle, we contend that the infernal torments which false religion has placed in the world, and which ministers have, with an overflowing zeal, so consistently held up to the people, have tended to harden the hearts of the professors of that religion toward their fellow creatures. It's created a spirit of enmity, which corresponds with the relentless cruelty of their doctrine. And by having such an example constantly before their eyes, they have become so transformed in its image that whenever they have the power, they've actually executed a vengeance on men and women. I forgot, this is not my favorite passage, but it's a powerful one, which evidenced the cruelty of their doctrine had overcome the native kindness and compassion of the human heart. Said in English, what we learn is what we do. What we do is what we learn. It becomes that self-fulfilling cycle. And at our core, as Unitarian Universalists, we know that we are good. Everyone is good at their core. But our first principle reminds us to live into that. But it's not our fault that we go astray. If you give someone a goal that they cannot achieve, perfection, and you identify that as the only path worthy of love, human beings will turn on themselves first and then on each other in desperation to prove their ultimate worthiness. And we come here on Sunday morning for our faith to move us back in the direction of self-compassion, which is neither some silly self-help notion nor solely for our own good. The inherent worth and dignity of every being isn't some idea pulled out of the air. It's a hard-fought theological position and prescription for what elicits the best in each and all of us. So if you remember nothing else I say today, remember this. We are lovable and loved exactly as we are. So much of what is wrong in this world is connected to the lack of self-compassion. That sense of not enough that we feel with gossip or anger or distraction or whatever. We come here on Sunday to remind ourselves in community to take in and believe our own goodness. And that when we lose sight of it, to look around and be reminded of it. We slow down and we're reminded we are enough. And after hearing it enough times, we sometimes begin to believe it. May you live into the best of this faith tradition, knowing in your bones that you are loved.
Meditation. A meditation called Beneath the Hustle and Bustle by Reverend Angela Herrera. Beneath the streams of thoughts that clamors and chatters over the landscape of our interior world, beneath our habits of momentum and stirring, there is a stillness, deep and peaceful, the place where creation begins. Who lives there? We know her by many names: truth, love, God, wisdom. We turn our hearts toward her face, toward the mystery, and bring our prayers of awe, of longing, of hope, of exhaustion. She holds us in our grief and anger, in our disappointment, our loneliness, and our rebirth. From her viewpoint, she sees us, children of the stillness, children of love. She sees our place in the order of things, joined together in the larger story, and she invites us again and again into living, invites us into loving, invites us into being loved. May we be restored to wholeness and blessed with peace. May all those whom we encounter receive this blessing through our being in the world. For a short meditation, please follow the sound of the bell into the silence.